Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana welcomes you to the Marrow of the Message. We continue our short series here in December on the dawning of deliverance from Matthew chapter 1 through chapter 4. Today we're in chapter 3. We look at John the Baptist preaching a message of repentance which precedes the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's what the scripture says. In those days, Matthew chapter 3, in those days John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, you snakes, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John, but John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented, and as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We'll concentrate on these few minutes on this Marrow of the Message, on this edition of Marrow of the Message, by looking at the last few verses from verses 13 through 17. In fact, I think we'll call this message today, "When Heaven Opened." But first, let's spend a few minutes setting this up of what was going on. John came preaching a message of repentance, we learn. And he was out in the outlying areas. He is outside of Jerusalem. And he was preaching in the wilderness a message to people that were becoming all ears. They wanted to hear what he had to say. And we understand that people were coming from all over Judea and all over Israel, coming to the river to hear this man preach. Now, what does it mean, him preaching? He wasn't having a talk with the people. In fact, chapter 3, verse 3 says he was fulfilling what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying in the desert. The NIV uses a very tame word, calling in the desert. Crying catches the essence of the word, a howling, an urgency to his preaching, calling people, crying out to people, calling in an urgent fashion. It's as if he was seeing people standing on the brink of an eternal damnation and an eternal destruction. And he knows, he's had an understanding of the severity of the day of the Lord and the coming wrath of God against those who would pretend to be knowing God and pretend to be the people of God and pretend to have a righteousness simply because they were born into a particular bloodline. In this case, the line of Abraham, as he would even perhaps go further to say the line of Jacob and Isaiah, the line of Isaac and Jacob. But he calls in the desert, he howls in the desert, crying out to literally a people that were harassed and helpless, to be sure, but a people that were angry and in distress. People are angry and distressed, especially when confronted with the holy God. But he calls out to people, prepare the way for the Lord. Listen to me, he says, listen. God, the day of the Lord is coming, and prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare yourselves. Make straight paths for him. Repent. Turn to him. Get your hearts right. Make a promise. Make preparations. Wait for this day. Look for him. And that's what John was preaching, and people were responding. They were coming to him. And here's what it says in verse 6. As they came confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Were they saved? You don't get the idea that they were saved. John says he wasn't the last word in this matter. He was pointing to one who had come, who would be the last word in this matter of salvation. But what John does say, come confessing your sins, call it what God calls it, admit it out loud, and be baptized. Make this a public profession of a turning in earnest to God as you wait for the appearing of his Messiah, which we know is the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in verses 7 through 10 that the religious leaders began coming out to him, coming to the river. And John points at them and he looks at them and he calls them the most strong, in strong terms, that they themselves are the deceivers. He calls them, you brood of vipers, you slippery snakes, as someone has said. Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? I've heard that whenever they're burning the sugarcane fields in Florida and that and other places, that the snakes, when the fire is lit, the snakes and all the critters come running out. And the snakes slither out as quickly as they can possibly get in order to avoid the flame. And John says, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Who warned you to flee from the coming fire? It tells them, stop your pretentiousness. Stop your religious game playing. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Do more than just simply mouth the words. Turn. Do not think for yourselves that you can say for yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. And he says, for God can raise up a people, children for Abraham, children of faith out of these stones. And he warns them, the axe is at the tree. It's all coming to an end. All this is coming down with the appearance of God's Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the sovereign. And he then tells them the truth. I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. The baptism of Jesus Christ is the final baptism. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that there's only one baptism, and that is this baptism, the Spirit baptism given by the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever anyone believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, they receive the Holy Spirit. How is this? First, it is the work of the Holy Spirit that brings a person from being dead to God to alive to God. Given a new heart and a new spirit, we learn in the Old Testament. We learn from Jesus that a person is born again. When they're born again, now they can see, they have spiritual eyes to see the truth about God, the truth about themselves, and the truth about Jesus Christ. They see that Jesus Christ is God's Messiah, that through faith in his blood, that is through faith in his sacrificial death on the cross, that there is forgiveness of sins. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that causes this to happen, that quickens a person to believe. And Jesus himself does this, for he shall save his people from their sins, and he saves them as the Holy Spirit is pleased to give eternal life. And this faith that comes is a gift from the Holy Spirit. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A person then is obviously baptized in water as a public declaration of what they have believed, that they have believed, that they have made a true confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The water itself doesn't save them. Only Christ can save by grace, God's grace, through faith in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. John says there is a much better baptism coming, and it's his baptism where truly new life is to be found, where true forgiveness of sins is to be provided through faith in Jesus Christ. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. But he also tells them this. He will baptize with fire. That is, he will baptize with the fires of judgment. He describes it this way in verse 12. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor. He will gather wheat. That is, his wheat, what he has purchased, what is his, into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Those who repent by turning to the Lord Jesus Christ, believing on him, will be saved. But those who reject him and who turn away from him and are unrepentant will perish and be judged and burned as it is with fire, unquenchable fire. That's what we need to say about this because it's so important. Remember this, John, a simple principle, John came preaching repentance, judgment's coming. He came preaching repentance. Judgment is coming, but so as the kingdom of heaven is nearing, law always precedes gospel. That which is designed to slay us and to bring us to the end of ourselves, the law of God, condemns us. The gospel comes and raises us up, giving us hope and promise of life everlasting through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, and this is eternal life, that they may believe you, Father, and in me, your only Son. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, believing the promises of God, this is eternal life. Well, let's move on. In verses 13 through 17, we see one of the most glorious events in world history. Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. John said, I need to be baptized by you. You're the Savior. You're the one that has the better baptism. John was right. But Jesus said, in order to fulfill all righteousness, it must be this way. Let it be this way now. And John relented. He didn't even relent. He gave in immediately. When Jesus speaks, when he speaks his word, it is effectual every time. And John heard him, and he yielded to him, and Jesus was baptized. Fulfilling all righteousness, at least we know this. Jesus fulfilled all righteousness in making a pledge, public pledge, that he himself would come fulfilling the will of God. Those who were baptized under John's baptism were those that were saying, we desire to perform the will of God. And the will of God is this, to believe on him, Jesus, whom God has sent. So, but Jesus didn't come having to believe on himself. He came to fulfill the will of God as a public declaration. And isn't it amazing that Jesus Christ, the sinless one, came and identified with sinners by walking down into the waters of sinners' baptism? I find that to be fascinating. He is a friend for sinners, and he so identifies with us that even though he himself had no sin, he was willing to walk down with us, to get down with us where we live, where we are. Fulfilling all righteousness, I believe, also means that at this point in time, upon his baptism and as now his being anointed, so to speak, for his service, his ministry, his public ministry, I believe that we see that this is where that baptism of John was ended, at the coming of Jesus Christ, that now he would be the one in time after his ascension who would baptize with the Holy Spirit. There was a handoff being made from John to Jesus, from the law of repentance to the gospel of repentance. And what a beautiful transition this was. Now, let's look at this and see verses 16 and 17. As soon as Jesus was baptized. As soon as he came up out of the water, at that moment, heaven was opened. I don't know that we can appreciate this if we don't look at some Old Testament verses. Heaven was opened. If you look back to Isaiah chapter 63, verse 15, and chapter 64, verse 1, you have Isaiah longing for this day of the coming of God's Messiah. Isaiah cried out to the Lord, groaning, "Oh Lord, look down on us from heaven, from your lofty throne, holy and glorious." He asked the question, "Where is your concern for us? Where is your strength and power? Where is your love and compassion? You've withheld them from us." Oh, and he laments the darkness that has settled upon Israel at the point when he was ministering. Verse 64, chapter 64, verse 1, the first part says, "Oh, that you would tear open the skies and come down. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." And then we come to Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, and we read, "And behold, the heavens were opened." Isaiah looked forward to this day. The prophets in the Old Testament recorded many times visions of the heavens being opened. And always in these visions, there was a particular glory associated with it. And this would be the Lord Jesus himself, the Son of God, God's Messiah. And here Isaiah, he longs for that day, the appearing of Messiah. And we have everything, if all of heaven opens up on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God descends upon him, and the declaration through that, the Holy Spirit depending on him, all signs pointing he is the one. If you read Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, and I would encourage you to do it, and you have Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, 1 and following, speaks about the Spirit of the Lord being on him fully, completely, in every way, the fullness of deity and bodily form is what this is speaking about. And this one, as the heavens opened and the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove, Jesus saw this, and a voice from heaven, the Father's voice, declaring to all those who were present, they heard it, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is God's Messiah. He is the one who can forgive sins. He is the one who has provided for the forgiveness of sins. And he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit, giving us power, that having received a new heart and a new spirit, with his Spirit working in us, he is the willing Spirit within us. In our flesh there is no willingness, but having been baptized with the Spirit upon his willing to bring us from death to life, he has given us a willing spirit that we would confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Oh, friends, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today. Turn to him. Confess your sin to him. Thank him for the life that he gives. And may the Lord bless you and keep you as you consider the fact that one of the greatest aspects of the Christmas stories is that God has come in the person of Jesus Christ, who alone gives life everlasting according to his grace and mercy. Praise the Lord.